everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Mr. Allen, engineering and producing our show together. The two of us say thanks for listening and welcome to the program. It is a Thursday. It's the 6th of October. October, my favorite month of the year. Especially nice here in Tucson, Arizona, the transition time of year. I love it. Buckmaster Show Live Line 790-2040. It's now open if you would like to join us. It is showdown day. You can enhance our conversation if there is something that you have that you would like to add to the conversation. And I think what we're going to be talking about, just about everybody has an opinion on it. It's about the minimum wage. Should it go up or should it stay the same, or where should it go? Our monthly showdown on the Buckmaster Show features two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. In the right-hand corner, Sean McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist. Mr. McCluskey, a former administrative aide to Donald Trump. So Sean McCluskey, of course, is hoping Mr. Trump does well because Sean could be in line for an administrative job.
Hardly.
Well, who knows, you know. You were in Florida with him?
Or? I was at Mar-a-Lago. I was his personal waiter and took care of the family when
would
he was
you
married
consider
to...
Would your title have been valet, or as the English say, valet?
No, I was actually basically just one of his head servers.
Head server?
Yeah. So. In the family. I worked closely with Tony Senecal, who was his, for lack of a better term, manservant or butler.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you got a great recommendation when you moved on.
Yeah.
Seated to the left of me, David Morales. David is the creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, which announced today you've hit, what, 2.8 million views now on the site?
Yeah, as of yesterday, I broke that mark.
And this started just as kind of a crazy idea. You thought it was kind of crazy, didn't you, when you began? Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought there was a voice that was needed, and I did it, and it's been popular.
Yeah, sure has. Sure has. And want to talk today about the minimum wage. It is Proposition 206, and with 206, you've got 205. That's the marijuana initiative that legalizes, in effect, recreational drugs. And we're going to talk about that at 12:45 today with our legal contributor Don Luce. Not so much a pro and con on that with Don Luce. It's more like, just what are the legal implications that are associated with this thing? Because there's all sorts of implications, Sean.
What's it do to employers?
Driving the, you know, what about driving while smoking a joint? I don't know what it would be.
Well, that's going to be illegal, obviously.
I think it's more about the federal, because the federal government it's still illegal, so.
Yeah, and it is still illegal, and so that makes all these states like Colorado, Arizona, you know, in effect, they're going against federal law, and you could have a change in administration which says, yeah, we're going back to the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, with 206, Sean, a lot of my restaurant industry friends really are worried about this jump in the minimum wage if Arizonans decide to up it to eventually $15 an hour.
$15 an hour, and just a mere increase from the $7.25 in the federal minimum wage to, where is it, $10.10, what they were talking about a few years ago when they were pumping $10.10. That was a 39% increase just on the cost of doing business to the paycheck side of it, not to the backside of it, what's going to do to cost of goods or anything else like that. I'm not against paying anybody a fair wage. I want to make that perfectly clear. But I want people to understand that that wage at $10.10 would be the equivalent if we kept along in line for 1969. However, the market hasn't done that, and everybody says that the temporary jobs or the jobs that you find in the fast food or in the restaurants are supposed to be temporary, and they're supposed to be part-time or a stepping stone job. Well, let's look and see what happened, and I'm going to pull a line from David. I'm going to go back in history a little bit. Look what happened in the 50s and 60s with the auto industry. Mm-hmm. You started to demand with the unions coming in, and demand came up for higher salaries and better care. Well, as that higher salary and better care came, the paycheck came with it, but automation came, and it replaced them. Look at the fast food industry. The fast food industry and the unions are supporting this because they know that through automation, they get consistent labor, always shows up, never calls in sick. The kid's not sick. They're always there. When it breaks down, they can replace it, swap it out in 15 minutes,
and it's
done.
It's happening in a lot of places.
Absolutely. All the fast food restaurants are pushing
automated.
This. They're going that way.
Yeah.
But you flip it and you go to your mom and pop. You take it local. Go to Vera Amore, one of your sponsors.
One of my fine charter sponsors, and I know the fine owners there, they're very worried about this.
Well, they can't afford a 39% increase just to that simple 10-10. They certainly can't afford a 50% increase in payroll to the $15 an hour because now their Via Scalapini gets outrageously priced because the cost of milk gets more expensive. The cost of goods gets delivered gets more expensive because everybody's got to pay everybody more. So the trickle-down effect of this is a complete negative. It should have an opportunity to give people a way out of this. If they don't like it and they don't like getting minimum wage, then they should dig their way out of it. Work a second job or find something they love and capitalize and monetize it.
Mm-hmm.
David, that's my answer.
What do you see that you like about this?
Well, I think some of the numbers you're using are kind of skewed because there is a federal minimum wage which is lower than Arizona's. Arizona's is currently $8.05.
$7.25 is the national.
Right. So if you use those numbers, it looks a lot higher than the increase. But it's actually a very modest increase. It would go to $10 an hour this January, I guess, this new year. And then it would go up 50 cents per year up until 2020 when it would become $12 an hour. Now, if you compare 1960s minimum wage to now, it would be about $12.50. So it would actually be lower than the equivalent minimum wage.
10 on a national scale.
So, I mean, I think so.
It is a phase in, is what you're saying.
It is a phase in. And, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions. I mean, it sounds kind of logical, but if you actually look at the data, it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like with Obamacare, you're going to have death panels and the end of the world is coming, but that hasn't happened yet.
How well is Obamacare working? It's failing in all states but one.
But the world hasn't collapsed yet. So under the minimum wage, there's actually 4.7 million mothers that are getting the minimum wage. The average minimum wage earner is 35 years old.
Correct.
And so it's not, we always talk about this, the teenagers working at McDonald's and stuff. It's way bigger than that. And it affects millions and millions of people. And the actual data that's been done, I mean, so people say, if you raise the minimum wage, then you're going to have layoffs and stuff. Well, Seattle provides a nice example of this. There was actually, when Seattle just passed the $15 an hour minimum wage. And with one of the first things they did is they hired the University of Washington to do a study. They said, let's analyze this as we go forward before we impose the raise, because it's actually phased in over a few years. So they asked a bunch of businesses, what's this going to do to you? What's this going to do to you? And it's going to be all the stuff that you're going to hear Sean say today. We're going to have to lay people off, automation, the all this stuff. And then they looked, what happens afterwards? There's been almost no layoffs.
4,000 restaurants have closed, all of them small, individual mom and pop restaurants.
Not necessarily
restaurants.
Because of
And now
this.
Go to the flip side of that. Take Seattle and go to San Francisco. Look what happened in San Francisco. You heard Congressman Schweiker talking about this morning. Mm-hmm. They're laying people off in droves.
But it's not necessarily a result of the minimum wage.
Yes, it is. $15 an hour is crushing the employer.
No, because if you look at the direct consequences of restaurants close all the time, right?
Look what happened in Portland when they increased their wage. What happened in Portland?
I'm looking at a University of Washington study,
but what
that
happened
says prices
in Portland,
did not go up.
What happened in Portland was people got $15, $12 an hour, and all of a sudden now they lost their subsidy for their food stamps and their housing, and now they can't afford the things they could afford when they were making $9 an hour, and they had food stamps, and they had housing, and they had food stamps and housing assistance, they could afford to have the nicer things in life. What you want them to raise their wage, lose their food stamps, lose their housing, lose their cable, lose their cell phone, lose their Beats headphones. You're taking more
think
from them
about
than you're giving
what
them.
You just said, okay, I'm glad that you said this. What you're saying is that under our current system, all of us have to subsidize the lowest wage workers. We have to subsidize the Walmarts. We have to subsidize with food stamps. You're saying that this is the society we want. Because Walmart's the number one employer in Arizona. And you know what? They get food stamps. They get access. We're paying millions and millions of dollars for Walmart not to pay.
Make it stricter to get the subsidies, and then you can increase it. But if you increase it without doing anything to the subsidies, you're going to put more people in the poorhouse than you currently have there.
All right. David is up first on the live line at 790-2040. David, what's on your mind?
Well, this is kind of near and dear to my heart, specifically because when I started in 1999, the minimum wage is $5.15. So that's when I started earning an income on the books, and I'm 32 years old. I never went to college, didn't want to, and it's taken me all of that time to get to what I'm now making of $18.56 an hour. So let's take the guy who's making $8 and have him make $10, and in a couple more years have him making $15. I certainly am not going to go up above $20, and even if I did, all of the costs, Even if costs of stuff went up just a little bit, I'm barely making it. I'm a family of four with a mortgage and two cars and one income. And it's $18 an hour. So I certainly don't need my costs of groceries, my costs of fast food, my costs of tires, my costs of anything else going up. And for any reason, much less something for the government to institute so that a certain small percentage of the population gets to have here's a raise. Doesn't matter if you did good, doesn't matter anything. I'd rather have merit raises versus that. But a lot of these fast food restaurants are franchises, for goodness sake. I mean, these are business owners who slave to get a business.
Okay.
And yeah, they might be making $100,000-$200,000 a year. And it might be cool if they gave $50,000 to their employees, but this is America. They shouldn't have to.
Thank you, David, for weighing in. Guys, real quick comment, then I'm going to take a break.
First of all, it's $12 in Arizona that's going to go up to. But the studies show that they've actually done studies on this. The reality, the data shows that it doesn't lead to layoffs. It doesn't even lead to higher prices.
But raising the minimum wage, the minuscule amount that you want, is going to do nothing for the lowest paid workers to get them to $20,200 annual salary. Is going to do nothing to lower the gap or reduce the gap between the highest 1% paid and the lowest paid.
Of course it's going to. It's going to go up a lot.
Guys, we have a full 20%. Board. People, obviously, this is people want to talk about this. We will get to all of the calls. Sean and David will all be back right after this break. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
All right, welcome back. It is the Showdown. Bill Buckmaster with you. David Morales to the left of me. Sean McCluskey to the right. We have a full board, and I do appreciate your patience, everybody. Let's go now. Steve at 790-2040. We're talking about the minimum wage. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello. I'll just make a couple comments, and I'll take it off the air for you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so if you pay somebody $12 an hour and somebody had worked their way up to $12 an hour, what are you going to do with those people? If you raise them to 15, now you got to raise those people at $15 an hour more. So it's we're going around in circles. Then the companies are only hire experienced people. So all those people that you want to give the higher minimum wage to are not going to get hired because the companies are going to say, well, if I'm going to pay that much, I'm going to only hire people with lots of experience because there's a lot of people who have worked their way up to get where they are, and everybody wants now give people things for free. Whatever happened to working two jobs? I worked two jobs and got to where I was in life. You work your way up the ladder and get what you want. Minimum wage was not meant to live on. It was a starting wage to get some experience, and you work yourself up the ladder, not meant for everybody to keep on raising you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. David Morales, it has evolved. Minimum wage started off as a stopgap measure, and it's evolved into a permanent thing.
Yeah, I think, there's always two sides to every issue, of course, and so I'm not, it's not 100% this way, 100% that way, but, people make these arguments like, well, what about the people that work their way up and stuff, and you know what, it's just, it's unfortunate. I mean, you have to raise the, you have to have a dignified a minimum to live on, and, it shouldn't have been the case. I mean, it's unfortunate, but the guy who called in and said he's making $18 an hour now. Well,
hold on a second here. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but okay, there's 24 hours in a day. You go to work for 8. What do you do for the other 16? You sleep for 8 of them, and you got 8 hours that you can do anything. Why can't you do what you love? If people out there like to shop, clip coupons, save money that way. That's one way you can do it. Number two, from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if you're a shopper and you want to shop, go work and hit every garage sale out there, buy some things, and then go back out into the 24-hour market called the internet and sell the stuff that you just bought. Make a little extra money. Dig yourself out of it. Take that money. Go get a better education, get a better job. It ain't that hard.
All right, Roger is next. Roger at 790-2040. Hey, Roger.
Yeah, I wanted to give a perspective as far as an employer in the construction industry.
Uh-huh.
To start with, you send me your teenage kid.
Okay.
Now, you want to get him out of the house because he's driving you nuts, so you send him to an employer. Well, that employer, to start with, has to pay his workman's comp. If there's insurance or anything else, the employer has to pay for that, has to have a vehicle for him to go to a construction site. And then you want me to pay him $15 an hour to train him?
It's $12 an hour.
I have to pay a $20, $25 an hour employee to educate your kid.
Hmm.
I'm not in the college business. And I'm sure Sean wouldn't want me sending out some kid making $15 an hour.
Better be competent.
Don't know what he's doing and then charge him for that.
Better
nobody's
be competent.
Pay me. Yeah, nobody's going to pay me for the service a new employee's doing. So what minimum wage does is it kills the opportunity of a young person to get a job. Like my brother used to tell me, go see Carl down the street. He's building homes, but don't tell him you want a lot of money or you know what you're doing. You go there for minimum wage and you prove yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. It's a good point. It will hurt people in the who just were trying to get a little experience, right?
But, you know, okay, so why not have no minimum wage? I mean, why pay them $1 an hour? I mean,
because then you get slavery. Then you
get
abuse.
That's pretty much. So that's why the government has to intervene at these points, because the free market, if left all to itself, you do end up with things like slavery. You end up with, you know, field workers exploited. You end up with this stuff because people will exploit as much as, I mean, and we're
okay,
still doing
people
this.
People exploit it. They do it with the subsidies. They do it with the food stamps. They do it with the housing. So let's get a little balance there, and then we can address this.
But let me
get a little work.
Let me get to what you're saying.
Because I want to get these calls.
What you're saying here is that the way it currently works, we have to then have food stamps and we have to have access. That means all of us.
No, we have lazy people. That's why we have that.
No.
I just gave you 24 hours in a day. They're sitting on their butt doing nothing.
Some people have families, all right? Some people have to raise their kids. Some people have to spend time with them, all right? I know you don't have that situation.
Do it when they're sleeping.
Okay. We've got three callers and 4 minutes, and I do want to carve out about a minute at the end for something that's happening this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Sharon, real quickly, please. Sharon, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My main concern with this is, and nobody seems to talk about it, is where does it say that the government will tell us what we have to pay our employees?
Hmm.
And one gentleman was speaking that said if the government is not kept into this, then we're going to have, I forget what he said, but what's going to happen is we're going to turn into like France or, you know,
great.
One of those. That would be great.
That was Mr. Morales.
Free college, free health care.
Oh, okay. You know, and the United States of America was based
on slavery.
A totally different, that wasn't nice.
It wasn't, isn't it true?
Okay, hold
no,
on 1 second, Dave.
No, of course not. It isn't true.
Sharon, real quickly. Wrap it up for me, please.
Okay,
bottom
sure.
line.
Anyway, that's my main concern.
I appreciate you calling. Thank you, Sharon. Matthew, real quickly, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the Grand Canyon Institute is going to release their report on Monday, and honestly, I don't know which way they're going to go on it either. This is a very, very difficult subject for both employers and employees. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Matthew. Ingrid is going to be our last caller on this particular subject. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Okay, people who can't make a good income really should consider not having a family because they can't afford it. And the law of supply and demand should operate, and that does not equate to slavery.
Well said.
But my
question is, how many jobs will it create? You increase the minimum wage to whatever, $9 an hour. How many jobs is that creating? Not one. It's reducing.
It doesn't lose any jobs, though.
Oh, please.
The studies show it. I'm not lying to you. These are studies that are done.
Okay, guys. Appreciate the good discussion on minimum wage, but there's a big announcement. Richard Carmona, former United States, 17th, I believe, the Surgeon General of the United States, longtime veteran, over 30 years with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, has called a news conference for 1 o'clock this afternoon at the Viscount Suites Hotel. This is about the sheriff's race. Dr. Carmona is a Democrat, but it's believed that at the news conference, Sean and David, he will announce he's supporting Republican for Sheriff Mark Napier.
I think he's going to do more than that. I think he's going to come out and say about some of the improprieties and some of the things we've heard about in the news as of late, especially last night with Valerie Cavazos, and her interview was great. The FBI investigation that is going on, they touched on that yesterday. Now, granted, they had a quick snippet of it. Hopefully we'll get a little more from Dr. Carmona today as to what's going on. It's impressive that a staunch Democrat is coming out against another Democrat in Pima County. This is something that is unheard of.
And from the website, his picture is gone?
He's been removed from the organizational chart in Pima County's website. His key card apparently has no longer worked, and he is supposed to be removed from the staff completely after the election.
And one of the reasons we didn't talk about this during this hour is because me and Sean actually agree on this. So
that's right.
It wouldn't have been very interesting.
And that is one of, usually one of my criteria for what we talk about on the showdown. I don't really want you guys sitting here for a half an hour agreeing on something. But there are some areas you do
agree. I agree. Sheriff Thanos has to go.
There you have it. I mean, I've got another Democrat telling me this guy's got to go. So if you look at it, the writing's on the wall. He's not doing a very good job. There's more scandal after scandal after scandal that comes out of this office. It does not give a good light to the men and women that serve this community, because those people underneath the 12 at top, all the rest of them, they're good men and women that protect this community. But the rest of them at top are giving them a bad light.
All right. We'll see if it gives Mr. Napier a boost, a bump in the polls. And I think a lot of people agree, David and Sean, this is right now polling. It's very close.
Very close. Mark Napier for sheriff is the other race.
Yeah, Mark Napier.
And Prop 206 will pass because the polls show it's
two to one. Latest polling.
So we'll see.
Anyway, good session. Showdown. Sean McCluskey, David Morales. We'll do it again, guys, right before the election. And speaking of the odds, we'll talk about your picks for who wins and who loses. Mm-hmm. Be right back.
What is Zauschneria? Come find out at Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale. Tona Chule's Fall Plant Sale will have an extensive offering of both the typical and the unusual, from native, cold, hardy, and adopted plants, from agaves to Zauschneria. Make plans to attend Saturday, October the 15th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday the 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The plant sale is located in the propagation area at 7211 Northern Avenue, the first street west of Ina and Oracle intersection. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, State Senator Steve Farley is our Friday Focus interview. The roundtable features Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, and Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch. It's Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, and you've got worldwide live listening on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. What a great weekend this would be to take a road trip 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The autumn leaves, they're turning. It's a perfect time of year. 7,000, about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. You get up in that area. Very nice, pleasant, mild days, cool nights. Perfect time of year. So much to do. Hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, to name one of the many things to do. The full listing of places to stay, and there are at least 24 good places in the area. And the many things to do, southwestnewmexico.org. That's the website. We send so many of our listeners over there, and everybody comes back, says they have a great time. Well, one incumbent and two challengers vying for two seats in the Arizona House of Representatives from Legislative District Number 10. The incumbent is Democrat Stephanie Mock, and she is joined by fellow party member Kirsten Engel. Kirsten is new to politics, but she did survive the primary and has moved on to face, along with Stephanie Mock, the Republican challenger, and he is Todd Clodfelder, who is making his third effort to win that seat. We spoke with him, I believe it was last week, and I think we have Stephanie on the program next week, but right now we have Kirsten Engel. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me back.
Well, congratulations on your primary win. Now it's time for the general election. Your focus of what issue is kind of your marquee issue?
Education funding. So I'm really passionate about that. That's what really motivated me to get into the race, frankly. I do have a pretty considerable background in environmental issues. So those are also important and ones I hope to make some progress on in the legislature. But it's really education funding that I think is really at a crisis state in our state.
And you are a former environmental lawyer with the Sierra Club and I believe the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office.
That's correct.
And now you're at the University of Arizona at the Legal College?
Yes, I teach at the law school. Mm-hmm. I've been here since 2005, and I've been directing the environmental law program there. And we've got some absolutely fabulous students in that program.
You know, when it comes, and we'll go back to education in a moment, but since we were mentioning the environment, you know, the Sierra Club puts out that annual report on how Arizona does. I think they pretty much grade all of the states. Arizona usually drops the ball when it comes to the environment, don't they?
That's true. And it's something I don't quite understand, because so many people come to the state because it has such a spectacular environment.
Environmentally rich, at least scenic.
Yes.
Scenic-wise.
Scenic-wise, yeah. That's true. For the most part, in many other ways as well. Down here in Tucson, we're blessed with fairly clean air. That's not true in many other parts of the state. But there are some real environmental issues and threats that face us. And I think the one that I've been speaking out the most on, and the ones that I've been hearing back from the voters on, is the issue of water.
Mm-hmm.
People are concerned. We've had a lot of drought. People are reading about how the predictions on climate change is that this area will just get warmer and drier. And actually, I brought with me into the studio today's Arizona Daily Star. And what is there?
I saw that article, front page.
Right. Southwest mega drought likely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that we can be doing to get out ahead on this issue. And I just think that we're not. Tucson, I think, has been very responsible. Really, hats off to Mayor Rothschild. He's really put an emphasis on working on our infrastructure to make sure we're not losing so much water out of leaky pipes and water conservation and water reuse. And I think we should be thinking about that for the rest of the state.
District 10 generally covers central Tucson?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And the voter registration usually skews Democrat?
Slightly. But it's pretty much a third, a third, and a third. And that's what makes it exciting. I think it's a real cross-section of partisanship, frankly. And it's been a fascinating time to be a politician.
Getting back to education and the governor, we're still waiting. What will be the next step as far as after Prop 123 passes? And I'm just curious, it'd be interesting as an observer to see how the state legislature in the next session now reacts to education, because last year the focus, well, this year actually, 2016, the focus was so much on 123, and education mm-hmm. went from being a back burner issue to a front burner issue. I wonder if it's going to get pushed back to be a back burner issue again in the next session.
I actually predict the opposite.
Okay.
I think what happened with Prop 123 is a lot of people really woke up about what was the status of education funding in Arizona. And people are beginning to understand that we have really fallen way behind other states. We are now 50th in the nation in per pupil funding. And those are the kind of statistics that people are now getting familiar with. And they're shocked. They're outraged. I think there's been a lot of disappointment with Prop 2-3, frankly. Just that it doesn't seem like for a proposition that was really sold to the voters as something that would really help our teachers, the teachers aren't getting necessarily the lion's share of that money. And people are reading about the teacher shortages. So I actually think that people are much more aware of what's going on, and I actually think it's going to be a pretty important issue this session.
Kirsten, what can you do as a Democrat if you are elected? You're going to be up with a lot of Republicans who are controlling things. Are you a person who can work collaboratively with other people, regardless of their party?
I think I can, and I think that's I think that's one of my strong suits. I was always the peacemaker in my family, to tell you the truth. That's how I approach things. I think that, you know, everybody is coming at these issues from generally trying to do what's right. And people differ in how to go about that. And I think you have to give them respect, which is what I always do. Really join together to really dig into issues and thoroughly understand them. I'll credit my legal background for both my interest in doing the hard work to really understand issues, but then reaching out and really trying to find some common ground.
You earned your bachelor's degree from Brown University, went on to graduate from Northwestern University School of Law. Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Chicago.
Oh, my hometown.
Yeah. So both.
What part of Chicago?
Well, actually, Lincoln Park on the near north side when I was younger, and then I moved to the south side.
All right. I'm from Wellmet. So a couple of Chicago area
That's
people
right.
here.
Yeah.
All right. What about your website? Where can people find out more about your campaign?
www.angleforarizona.com.
All right. Legislative District 10, 3 representative, 3 potential representatives for the state legislature. One of them is already an incumbent, Stephanie Mock. Todd Clodfelder is the Republican, and we've been speaking with Kirsten Engel. Thank you, Kirsten. Good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, 12:43 coming up on that on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking with our legal contributor, speaking of legal, Mr. Attorney Don Luce, and we're going to be talking with Don about the legal legal implications of the other proposition that's getting so much attention, and that is marijuana, recreational use of marijuana. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show after I tell you and thank our fine sponsor, Green Things. Green Things, I love to do gardening. Kirsten, I don't know, do you do any gardening?
I'm not too big on the gardening side.
You'd let others do the gardening for it, but you love to
That's
look
right.
At,
I love
to look at flowers,
I love to
right?
look at other people's work on
well,
that.
Well, go out to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're on 13 acres beautifully. They've got some beautiful desert trees. They've got 10-foot tall palms, little succulents. They've got beautiful pottery. Check out Green Things, their website, Green Things. AZ.com, and they've got those free workshops for gardening Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. at Green Things. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
.12:48 on the Buckmaster Show, on a program that has been chocked full of content today. We try to do that every day. Don Luce is with us. Mr. Luce he's an attorney with Luce Brown, Hobkirk & Callahan, attorneys at law. Luce Brown attorneys have three offices, two in the Phoenix area, one on River Road in Tucson. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books about Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and what are the laws concerning estate planning in Arizona? That's his other book, which all of us should be thinking about estate planning. But right now, first of all, good to see you, Don.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be back.
What all of us, many of us, are thinking about are these two propositions, the two marquee propositions. I don't even know if there are other propositions. I think there's just the minimum wage and this legalization of recreational marijuana.
Yes, 205 and 206 are the numbers.
205 and 206. Let's talk about the marijuana measure, which is known as and will be on the ballot. And the early ballots, by the way, go out next week.
Incredible.
On Monday.
The election, as you know, is on November 8th. Yes. So we're not very far out from the general election. And as you just mentioned, as early as next week, people could actually get ballots to vote on these initiatives.
Yep. So it's 205, and you have the measure, the proposed measure, the wording in front of you, and I cannot believe how many words are just in the
it is
pamphlet
incredible.
Describing this thing.
Even for a lawyer, it's incredible.
You've got this with tab marks and everything else. I mean, yellow little stick-em notes.
Sometimes,
and stuff. This
Billy,
thing
is, you put me to task here on summarizing Prop 205.
Where do we begin?
All right. Let's start with the title.
Okay.
What would you think the title might be?
Recreational marijuana.
Yep. Good guess. Wrong. Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act.
Huh.
Yeah, there you go.
Regulation and taxation. I hadn't thought about the taxation component.
Now, according to the findings of the proposed amendment, the people of the state of Arizona would find that the distribution of marijuana should be removed from the illicit market and be controlled under a system that licenses, regulates, and taxes the businesses involved and allocates the tax revenue to public education and public health.
Hmm.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does.
This is interesting, this next point. The people of the state of Arizona proclaim that marijuana should be regulated in a manner similar to alcohol.
Hmm.
Okay, so not in a manner similar to a pharmaceutical drug,
right,
like the Medical Marijuana Act, but a manner similar to alcohol. I found in reviewing the proposition that that concept comes out in another place, and that is that the number of retail stores, marijuana stores, would be tied to the number of liquor stores within a given area. Currently,
really?
Yep. Now this is interesting. Currently, under the existing Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, the number of medical marijuana dispensaries is tied to the number of pharmacies. So under Prop 205, that would be unhooked and it would be tied to the number of liquor stores, which if you proclaim that the people of the state of Arizona believe that marijuana should be regulated in a manner similar to alcohol, that makes perfect sense.
So tell me, if for the marijuana store, like there are liquor stores and there would be presumably marijuana stores, would they then, the proprietor, the owner of the store, apply for a liquor license, for a marijuana license?
In a manner of speaking. Now, currently, the Arizona Department of Health Services regulates the medical marijuana dispensaries in the state of Arizona. How many, and I don't want to necessarily put you on the spot again, how many medical marijuana dispensaries do you suppose are currently licensed to operate in the state of Arizona?
I would say 100.
Very close, 97 more or less. Wow. Now, today at 2 o'clock, the Department of Health Services is going to conduct a lottery for the issuance of approximately 30 new certificates, for which 750 people or entities have applied. 750 applicants for 30 new medical marijuana licenses.
That tells me there's money in it.
Well, and
yeah.
let me go full circle here. Under Prop 205, existing medical marijuana dispensaries have first crack at getting licensed for recreational marijuana.
Oh my goodness.
So there you go. Some people say that if Prop 205 passes, the value of a medical marijuana license is going to increase exponentially because there is so much more profit in recreational marijuana than there is in medical marijuana. Although both are multi-million dollar businesses.
How will the so-called recreational marijuana be dispensed? You would go to a marijuana store. Would it be like sold in cigarettes, or how would it be dispensed? And how much would a consumer be able to purchase?
Oh, great question. So the most common form of marijuana is not the weed itself. Like you typically think of people rolling, you know, marijuana cigarettes.
A joint.
It's not that. Mm-hmm. It's edibles and other extracts from marijuana that are the most popular. Under Prop 205, it would allow a person who is at least 21 years of age to lawfully possess 1 ounce of marijuana, including not more than 5 grams of hashish. It would create a Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control. Now, this is a deviation also from the existing system. The Department of Health Services currently regulates medical marijuana dispensaries. Mm-hmm. Under Prop 205, that would be changed, and a brand new state department known as the Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control would be created, and that department would regulate the production, distribution, and sale. The Prop 205 would impose an additional 15% tax on the sale of marijuana and marijuana products, and then the proposition directs how those monies are to be allocated. They're essentially to be deposited into something called a marijuana fund, and then the monies would be distributed according to the terms of the proposition. Now, we're talking big dollars here. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee, which is required by law to do a fiscal impact statement on all voter initiative measures this one, reckons that in 2019, it's going to generate revenue, just the 15% tax, of $53 million. In 2020, which is the second year of operation and the first full year, it would generate revenue just from the 15% tax of $82 million. And this is in addition, by the way, to the regular state and local sales taxes, which will generate in the first year an estimated $22 million, and in the second year an estimated $42 million. So we're, you know, we're looking at increasing our sales use and marijuana tax, this new 15% tax, we're looking at generating something along the lines of $75 million in additional revenue the first year alone. And then the second year, that number jumps up to about $120 million in increased revenue.
Does it go to the general fund or does it have to go to education?
All right. Well, that's a great question. So $8 million, according to the Joint Legislative Budget Analysis, would go to the Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's the new department that's going to be created.
Right.
And presumably that $8 million is going to be used for the department to regulate the industry.
That's right.
Now, in the first year, and we'll just talk about the first year initially, about $7 million goes to local governments with marijuana-related businesses within their jurisdictions. Okay, not every government allows medical marijuana businesses. That's a matter of local discretion. $15 million for K-12 schools for operating costs, $15 million to K-12 schools for full-day kindergarten, and $7 million to the Arizona Poison Control System for a public education campaign about marijuana, alcohol, and other substances.
Okay. and I had another quick question. I don't know if, see if I can work it in really quick. So you could purchase 1 ounce, right?
Yes.
From the store. Could you go to the go down the block, buy another 1 ounce?
Yes, as long as you don't have more than 1 ounce on your person.
Okay. Don Luce, thank you very much, Don Luce. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
Mr. Luce is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and you may need to be really burning the midnight oil producing a third edition or second edition, third edition.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I had to address this medical marijuana initiative,
we could write a book on that.
There you go.
Estate Planning in Arizona is Mr. Luce's other book. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen, then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, and then after November, right, early November, we'll be going to another local show, 9 to 10, so we'll be expanding our local talk here on KVOI. Have a great afternoon and evening.